Well, good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Awesome. Well, my name is Chris, and along with Jimena and the rest of the team, we're going to sing some songs of worship this morning. Would you stand if you're able? Welcome to everyone worshiping online or in the family room as well. Let's have fun with these couple songs as we begin. Let's worship and be reminded of what God has done in our lives. Let's sing it out. Let's worship together.
I would be hopeless without your goodness. I would be desperate without your love. Slave to the darkness, if it wasn't for the cross. You have won me with your kindness. Chased me down when I was lost. Oh, where would I be if it wasn't for the cross?
Sing it out.
Jesus, I was a prisoner, now I'm not. 'Cause with your blood you bought my freedom. Hallelujah for the cross. All my shame was met with mercy. Now your mercy will be my song. And oh, the glory, oh, the power of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, now I'm not. 'Cause with your blood
if you've been around for the last year or so, you know that we've been trying to sing songs in different languages because we know that around Black Hawk Church, not everyone's native language is English. We have people that speak Spanish and Chinese and a whole list of other languages. And so from time to time, we will try to sing in one of those languages. It's also a way just to experience a glimpse of the multicultural kingdom of God that we are praying that God manifests here in our community and at Black Hawk Church. So as we sing in just a moment, you'll see that both English and Spanish will be on your screen. So we're going to sing in both English and Spanish, just kind of going back and forth. Vamos a cantar en inglés y español con nuestra amiga Jimena. So let's worship together. Here we go.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you.
Sing that again, sing you are here.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you.
He's a way maker, let's sing.
Way make, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way make, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Aquí estás.
Aquí estás, sanando mi corazón. Te adoraré, te adoraré. Aquí estás, tocando mi corazón. Te adoraré, te adoraré.
Aquí estás,
aquí estás, tocando mi corazón. Te adoraré, te adoraré. Aquí estás, sanando mi corazón. Te adoraré, te adoraré.
Milagroso,
milagroso, abres camino, cumples promesas, luz en tinieblas, mi Dios, así eres tú. Milagroso, abres camino, cumples promesas, luz en tinieblas, mi Dios, así eres tú.
Milagroso,
milagroso, abres camino, cumples promesas, luz en tinieblas, mi Dios, así eres tú. Milagroso, abres camino, cumples promesas, luz en tinieblas, mi Dios, así eres tú.
Así eres tú.
Así eres tú, 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 así eres tú.
Even when I don't see it.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop.
Okay, no puedo.
aunque no pueda ver, está sobrando. Aunque no pueda ver, está sobrando. Siempre estás, siempre estás sobrando. Siempre estás, siempre estás sobrando. Aunque no pueda ver, está sobrando. Aunque no pueda ver, está sobrando. Siempre estás, siempre estás sobrando. Siempre estás, siempre estás sobrando. Milagroso, abres camino, cumples promesa, luz en tinieblas. Mi Dios, así eres tú. Milagroso, abres camino, cumples promesas, luz en tinieblas. Mi Dios, así eres tú.
Así eres tú.
Así eres tú. Así eres tú. Así eres tú. Así eres tú. Así eres tú. Así eres tú. Así eres tú. Así eres tú.
Time, sing Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Sing Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
So God, we worship you this morning. Hallelujah for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. Thank you that you've made a way for us to be in relationship with you, to worship you, to experience your spirit, to experience your presence today. And maybe in the midst of just the circumstances of life and things that we're going through, God, you have been faithful, you've been good, you've been present, you have made a way when it seemed like there wasn't a way. So God, we worship you this morning. Help us to grow in awareness that you are present and you're here and you passionately love us and you're in pursuit of us. You want to meet with us, to encourage us, to challenge us, to form us. So we give you permission. We hand ourselves over to you. We surrender ourselves that you would do those things. We love you, and we look forward to what you're going to do this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said together, amen.
Amen. Well, hey, everybody. Good morning. How are you guys? Doing well? Yeah, good. My name is Tiffany Malloy, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff. It's great to be here. I hope you all are enjoying your weekend. I know for some people, this has kind of been a big week, a big weekend. My family, I have four kids and I'm married to a teacher. And so this week has been a week of celebration because school is over. So I know for many of you, that is the case too. But also for graduating seniors, I know we have some graduating high school seniors here as a part of our church. And so I just want to say shout out to you guys. Way to go. We are proud of all the work that you have put into this. So let's give them a hand. That's awesome. All right, well, you guys can go ahead and have a seat. We have a couple things going on today that I want to make sure that you know about. The first is this. We are going to be taking communion together as a community. And so if you didn't grab your elements on the way in, no worries. Just raise your hand. We'll get those to you. You'll want those for later on the service. And for those of you joining us online, now would be a great time to head to the pantry and the fridge to get some crackers and juice so you can participate with us as well. Next up, so as many of you know, we are one church in three locations and online. And so as our staff is beginning to plan for this next ministry year, it would be so helpful if we kind of knew where people were engaging primarily in Sunday services. So we're going to do a little activity together this morning. You guys ready for this? All right, so go and take our phones And if you don't have a phone, you can just borrow the person's next to you after they're done. It'll be fine. They'll be fine with that. So we're putting a QR code here on the screen. We want to invite you to fill out just a little form. It should take less than 30 seconds, so that's why I want to do it here. If you've never done this before, you can open up, we'll do it together. You can open up your camera app, and then just go ahead and point it at that QR code, and then you're going to want to tap the little QR code, and you should be getting a link that pops up. And so you can just follow that link, couple of questions to answer, and then you're done. And if that doesn't work for you, you can just go ahead and type in blackhawk.church/Sunday, and you'll get to the same form. So if this is the place that you primarily worship on Sunday mornings, you can choose Braider Way as your site, and then this is Eastside Live. Or if you are primarily joining us online, you can choose the online drop-down menu. So again, this is just really helpful for us as we just continue to think about how we're creating opportunities for connections and different things around here for this next year. So thanks for doing that. All right, well, finally, you guys, I know some of you have been asking about this. We are starting a new series next week, and it's going to be on the topic of work. So no matter who you are, we all work. So whether you are a student or you are a stay-at-home parent, if you're in a career or you're retired, we all do something during the day, and what we do matters. And so we're going to be talking about that over the next 4 weeks. So we invite you as to come back starting next Sunday for that series. Invite a friend, you guys. This is going to be a really good one because no matter who you are, we all work. And so we're excited to be diving into this topic together. So, all right, well, with that, I'm going to hand it off to Pastor Matt for today's message.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to Black Hawk Church. My name, if I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name is Matt. I'm the senior pastor here at Black Hawk and a part of the teaching team. And welcome to everybody, all sites, all venues, regardless of where you're at right now. If you're watching us online, if you're live in the room, it's great to have a chance to be together. To all my Mandarin-speaking friends, Dijon Zi Mei Ping An, and to my Spanish-speaking friends, bienvenidos a Black Hawk. Estamos muy contentos de que estén con nosotros. So we are one church in a lot of different locations, and it's great to have a chance to be able to be together this week. But before I really dive into the direction we're going, I've got a question for you. How many of you know what these are? Right here. Yeah, a smattering of people here in the room. Hopefully online, you potentially might know a little bit more about these or at sites or different things like that. This is an Oculus. These are VR goggles, virtual reality goggles. And they've been kind of the rage for the last couple years. I know there are a lot of people who got them this past year for Christmas as kind of their big family gift or that type of thing. So Rachel, my wife and I, we had heard a lot about these, but we had never tried them before. We don't own a pair, and so we have friends who have them, and so we decided to borrow them in order to kind of see, like, what's all the hype about. But the idea of them is you put them on, and all of a sudden, I always thought it could be cool if they made them, like, with eyes right here, so it would look like you were looking at people as you looked around. But you put these on, and they take you into a completely different world. Like where you're not just seeing in front, like it's your vision out here. Everywhere that you see, peripheral vision, everything takes you into an experience where you're seeing life differently. You are sent into a different type of a world. And let me tell you, it messes with your mind. I am not kidding you. I mean, it is so unbelievably realistic what you experience as you put these on. So I got a chance to mess with them. I clicked onto a particular game that I wanted Rachel to experience called Richie's Plank Experience. If you have an Oculus or VR, you might know about that. But basically the idea is that you are all of a sudden taken in an elevator up about 50 stories high in a building, and you are asked to walk out onto a plank out in the middle of it. Some of you with like height issues, you're like, not happening. And so the fun of this was, Rachel had the VR goggles on, so she didn't realize I had pulled out my phone and I was recording her through the whole thing as she was doing it. And okay, now I wish that I had time for you to see the video. We don't, for the sake of time today, we don't. But in light of that, I actually last night, I posted them on social media with my wife's permission, of course. And so if you go to my Instagram page or Facebook, you can take a look at her responses. They are classic. So, and but don't do it now, you know, while we're watching. But the thing for me that I realized when I put these on, they make me feel like really old. So, and the reason why is because, like, when I play video games, like, when I think of video games, I think of the games that I grew up with. Like, how many of you know Pac-Man? Like, Pac-Man, come on. Pac-Man, just the yellow guy eating the little dots, grabbing as many of them as he can as he goes through the maze. Or, like, another game I loved growing up as I got a little older was Super Mario Brothers. Any other Super Mario Brothers fans? Yeah, with the little mustache dude who runs along through the course and grabbing as many coins as he can. But the way I remember games are, like, where if there's a screen like this, you've got your controller, and you're sitting there playing, looking at the screen, watching your little guy do everything you're telling him to do. But now, you put these things on, instead of like controlling the little guy, now you are the little guy. And you're in the middle of this experience, and everywhere that you look, it looks like you are in the game. It's incredible how realistic it is. So I actually got a chance to experience a game called Subway Surfer, which is kind of a bigger game right now, and where you're grabbing coins, you're grabbing Coke cans, you're grabbing spray cans and stuff like that. And well, I got recorded playing. So take a look at this for just a minute.
All right, I'm in the game. Wait, whoa, who's that? Okay, hold on. All right, I'm getting coins. Is this good? Okay, so I guess that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Grabbing, good, go this way. Okay, and he, yeah, he's still, doggone it. Where am I in the room? I can't even, oh, let's go up. Okay, coins, that's good. Hey, is there a place that shows like how many coins I'm getting? Okay, coins, good. All right, I'll go down, and yeah, oh, he's there still, okay. I am feeling like, did you get dizzy when you were doing this? I feel like I could throw up. Okay, wait. Ooh, a fiber, get it. Okay, wait, I got to... I don't feel so good.
Okay. So note to self, before you play, take some Tylenol or Dramamine. So I highly recommend it. You'll doze off later, but it's well worth it. So, but man, I was blown away. As I put these things on and experienced, I couldn't believe how real it felt. You know, as I was in this game, you know, grabbing like as many coins as I possibly could. You know, and I think that for some of us, when we think about games like that, regardless if it's Pac-Man or Super Mario Brothers or Subway Surfer, we get the idea of, you know, we're constantly consuming and grabbing stuff. You know, and it got me thinking in some ways, like that's all fun to be able to play and to see how realistic it is. But do you ever feel like in the lives that we live today that we are tempted to be people who just live for grabbing as much stuff as we possibly can? Like just to where life is about grabbing and taking in and making as much money and consuming as much as we possibly can for our own, like our own desires. And listen, I'm guessing that doesn't matter how much money it is that we make. Like, it doesn't matter if you're wealthy or if you're not all that wealthy. And I get that for some of us. I mean, we go through seasons of life where, like, you could be saying, Matt, look, I don't even think about how much it is that I'm taking in for my own consumption. I'm just trying to pay my bills and keep my head above water. And I get that. Rachel and I have gone through seasons where, like, we were kind of scraping by. But regardless, there's this, like, inner thing inside of us. Isn't it true that kind of just, like, wants more? And I know for me personally, I've dealt with it my entire life. Like, I can remember all the way back to like growing up, one of my first paying jobs was at a surf shop in Fort Lauderdale. One of the best things about the surf shop was the 30% discount that you got off of everything that was there. And the other part that was there was that I could bring whatever I wanted to purchase actually to the bookkeeper, and she would make notes of everything. And rather than me having to like go to the register and pay for it, she would just take it out of my paycheck. So it was like, I never felt it. You know, I was just, it was like free stuff until, of course, you got your paycheck 2 weeks later and you realized that like for the 2 weeks you worked, you got like $8, you know? So then you felt it. But there's this idea, I mean, as I was there, of just like consuming, getting as much as I could. And I still struggle with that today. And I'm guessing if I do, that plenty of you, whether you're watching online or you're here in the room, like we deal with that struggle. Like it's as if, like in the world that we live in, it's like we're baited to live this life? Could it be that we have been baited to live this life where we put on these goggles and we look at life like it's a light, like it looks about as real as it is, but everything is about consuming and taking in. And it's as if, like, if we buy into this idea, could it be that potentially there's another type of life? A life when we take off those goggles that we didn't even realize we were wearing, a life that is actually more rich and more true and more real and more fulfilling than we ever thought possible, where God leads us in a direction, in a relationship that we have with our finances and what we have that looks different than this idea of consuming all the time. That's where we're headed today. That's the direction that we're going to go with this talk. So I'm just putting my cards on the table. Today's talk is about finances and it's about generosity. So welcome to Black Hawk Church. You know, now I know that anytime we talk about that, it can feel kind of awkward, and I get that. And listen, this is a talk that really is geared more than anything else towards the people who would call Black Hawk Church their home. And so if you've been coming to Black Hawk and decided this is your place, regardless if you've been coming here for, I don't know, 20 days or 20 years, this is a talk that's geared for you. But we know every time that we gather like this in whatever room it is that we're gathering with, or for anybody who's joining us online, we know that there are people who are not a part of Black Hawk. You're still trying to figure out even what you believe about Jesus. And if you're one of those people, honestly, like, I'm so glad that you're joining us today. Because look, you get to be a fly on the wall on a conversation that you get to hear about how seriously we take God's word. Because for us as Christ followers, like, our desire isn't just that we hear God's word or even that we know it, but that it actually transforms who we are and the way that we live. But if you're one of those visitors, one of those people checking things out, I'm just welcoming you just to come in and not feel any pressure with this talk whatsoever. And if you talk to somebody who comes to Black Hawk on a regular basis, they would say, yeah, we don't talk about money all that often. I mean, at all of our sites and venues, it's the reason why, like, we don't pass plates is because we don't want to be manipulative. Like, we don't want people to feel like they are, like, guilted into giving to Black Hawk Church. And so we don't do those things. And I have people who are new to Black Hawk who come to me and they're like, hey, how do you give around this place? You know, because we just don't talk about it. Like, at all our sites and venues, we have boxes in the back of the room where people can give. Some people will still write checks and mail them in. For most people, they give electronically. And if you're on our website, you can just go to this little box in the top right corner and click that, and it shows you how to be able to give. I know for my wife and I, we set that up to do that monthly, where, like, our giving and our tithe, it just comes out of that. It's the thing that we give first, and it just goes straight to the church. That's the way a lot of people do it. But we don't talk about it that much. It's not something that we bring up on a regular basis because, like, we don't want that to be the thing that ends up moving people in a particular direction. And so, you know, the interesting thing when we look at it, though, sometimes I wonder if we don't talk about it enough. Because in reality, God's word has a lot to say on this subject. Like, you realize in the Bible altogether, there are over 2,000 verses dealing with the subject of money. Jesus, when he was walking the planet, which is recorded in the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in those four books, in his teaching, in a lot of the parables that he taught, you realize in, like, the 39 different parables, 11 of them, like 25% of them, are on the subject of money. It's as if Jesus knew this was a subject potentially that we should talk about to some level. And so what I want to do today is I want to go into a passage of scripture where the Apostle Paul is talking to a particular church and he is giving them a warning about the damage that can happen to us when we look at money in a wrong way and giving us instead a perspective of the way that we should view what it is that God has blessed us with. So that's where we're gonna head. So if you've got your Bibles or whatever device that you look at scripture on, turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of 1 Timothy right now. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is where we're gonna head. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, a couple things to know about the book of 1 Timothy. This is a letter written by Paul to his coworker and protege, Timothy. And Timothy was working with a particular church in the city of Ephesus at that time. And the reason why he was working with this church is because there were some false teachers who were in leadership, who were moving people in directions really that didn't have anything to do with the gospel, nothing to do with the message of Jesus, away from the idea of what Christianity was really supposed to look like. And one of those subjects was the subject of money. So he was the leaders at that time, they were looking at money as something that as we lived godly, that we would actually end up getting more money. And these people were greedy and trying to take in more. And Paul was really refuting that idea and giving people an idea of the way they were supposed to live. And so if you take time to read all of chapter 6, there is so much that Paul says. But for the sake of time, we're going to get to the meat of this idea of this warning that Paul gives the church. He says these words: those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Okay, Paul has some strong words. And the warning that he's giving these people about having a wrong idea about the way that we should look at money and actually the damage and destruction that it can do to people. But do you notice he's not shooting down wealthy people? Like, he's not saying that it's bad to have money. Like, notice there's a heart posture that he's moving towards. Notice what it says here. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap. So he goes on to say, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. He says, some people eager for money. So, and with emphasis on this word eager, if you look up this word in the original Greek, this is a word that actually is meaning It's like a longing or a coveting or a craving of money. Like, oh, I just want more. He's moving towards a heart attitude of just wanting more. Seeing our idea is to consume as much as we possibly can. It's like this whole concept of putting on the VR goggles and looking at life just through this lens of getting as many coins as we possibly can for our own selfish consumption. Paul's saying that if we step into that, we actually can step into a trap that can end up doing more damage and destruction to our own personal lives than we would realize. And for oftentimes, we don't even realize that we're there. I mean, think about it for a minute. Like, have you ever seen somebody who is just so wrapped up in the idea of how much they have and so much that they can get that you know they're doing damage to themselves? Like, have you ever seen somebody who, in that desire, like, is doing damage to their relationship with their spouse or doing damage to their family or doing damage to their friendships, doing damage to their own personal life, doing damage to their own moral character, doing damage to their relationship with Jesus, and they don't even see it because they're in the game and it looks so real? See, Paul's saying, be careful of that type of life. It's a trap that we can easily fall into that ultimately does damage. And so he goes on to give us an idea of, well, what do we do to make sure we don't fall into that trap? He gives us an antidote of the way that it is that we're actually supposed to live. If you go on and move down to verse 17, he says this. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us for everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. Look, Paul's giving us this idea in the way that he says this, like he's moving towards this concept. Look, if you fall into this other way, yeah, it can be incredibly damaging. But what should we honestly put our hope in? Not in wealth. It shouldn't make us arrogant because we have more than other people that somehow we mean more. No. It shouldn't be something that we put our hope in because it can be here today and gone tomorrow. It is so uncertain. But rather, put your hope in the one who loves you and owns everything anyway. Amen. Just put your hope in God. He's the one who knows your needs and will take care of your needs. And then you want to make sure that you don't become this person who's constantly grabbing, seeing everything as for your own enjoyment and your own fulfillment and your own selfish desires. Yeah, open up your hands and become someone who goes like this. He says it this way. He says, those who are rich in the present world, to put their hope in God who richly provides us. So command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous, and to be willing to share. He gives this idea that we become, when we become those type of people who instead of being like this, all of a sudden become like this, man, all of a sudden the grip that our money has on us is loosened. And these are the type of people that we're actually supposed to be, people who are just willing to give away. You realize this is so backwards from the world that we live in and what the world tells us we're supposed to be like. The world is the one that ends up telling us, it's like our culture and our society tell us, everything that you make is yours. Everything should be consumed by you. You actually deserve it. And you actually, in some ways, you deserve more it is than you can actually afford. So we end up going into debt for the things that we actually can't afford, but we're told that we deserve. It's a backwards culture. What Paul is saying is you want to break the idea of that. Do you want to step into the life that you're actually created for? Become a person who is willing to share, who is willing to be generous with others. And in doing that, this is the most powerful thing. You may take hold of the life that is truly life, a life that we're created for. See, God created us to be people who would not just move towards consuming, but that we would actually find fulfillment, even joy, in contributing. And the only way that we ever get there is when we realize we've been sold this game that we see that looks so real, when we're able to take off those goggles and see what it is that we're truly created for. You see, when we put our hope in God and who he is and what he says is true about life, all of a sudden then, once we place our hope in him, we know that he takes care of us, well then wealth just becomes something, it's like a tool that we're able to give. You see, there are rich people who I know who are like incredibly generous people. There are also people I know who are not wealthy, who are incredibly generous, because they've bought into this idea of understanding that the way that God created us is not just to consume, but to contribute. And when we do that, it's not that God is saying, well, I'd like you to do that. I know it's gonna suck the joy out of life, but hey, it would be really, we'd really appreciate it if you could do that. That's the way that everything kind of continues. And so sorry, sucks to be you, but hey, thanks for giving. No. He actually says that in doing that, you find joy. That we find joy because it's the type of people he's created us to be from the beginning. So, let me ask you a question. What does that look like? What does it look like to be a person who is able to rather than just consume, but to contribute? What happens when Christians are generous? Well, I can talk about that at least to some level from my position here at Black Hawk Church, because it's crazy for me to think about this, but it was about a year ago that I was stepping into this position of being the senior pastor. It's been a year, that's crazy. And man, this year that we have been through, it's been a year. It's been another year. I mean, it's continued to be difficult. You know, I mean, like in the world that we live in, I mean, we all know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I mean, with the polarization of people looking at politics differently, with the way that people have opinions of the way that life should be lived in the world that we're coming out of with COVID within the church, where it was like, okay, we were masked, then we were unmasked, then we had masks back on, now they're off again, you know? And it's like this back and forth, you know, as we all continue to like deal with the ramifications of isolation we dealt with for so much, our desire is to continue to be a church that can be a community of people who are very different from each other, who have different views on things, that can love each other because of Jesus. And show the world something different. And the coolest thing about being senior pastor is being able to sit front row and hear the stories of the way that those things happen. You know, the ways that things happen because of the way people give. And listen, to some of you who give, man, I just can't thank you enough. For some of you, you are so like dialed in here. And the way that you give generously and sacrificially, I just cannot thank you enough. And hearing the stories of the ways that things happen because of the ways that you give are amazing. I heard a story not too long ago of a person who was in a life group that's been meeting all during the time of COVID. So they were completely online, and then they started to gather back together. Half the group is Democrat, half is Republican. Yeah, nervous laughter just happened in the room as you're saying that out loud. And the reason why, I mean, we all know the way that can go. I mean, people, polar opposites, they're gonna move apart. No, but see this group? They started to join together more. They started to listen to each other, seek to understand each other's sides, even though they didn't agree. They started spending time praying for each other and through every situation that happened all through COVID, praying for our country, praying for our world, praying for our city, praying for people as individuals, that God would be the one who would be glorified in everything. You see that, I don't know about you, but to me that smells like Jesus. You know, multiculturally, the things that are happening around Black Hawk are just unbelievable. You know, so 3 weeks prior to COVID, we started a new service here at Black Hawk called Gospel Fusion, and then it shut down. 3 weeks, had a three-week run. It was an amazing three-week run, and then it was over, you know, as we moved into COVID and everything. In the past year, Gospel Fusion opened again. Shout out to everyone in Gospel Fusion right now. You people are amazing. What is happening in that room is incredible. And let me tell you, regardless of what site or venue, if you're here in the live room, you should go check out Gospel Fusion at some point. Because the multicultural stuff that is happening in that space is nothing shy of amazing under the leadership of Pastor Coley, PC. And man, we just get so excited seeing what's happening. Our Black Hawk Chinese ministry continues to grow. And the things that are happening in that service are amazing. On top of that, we have seen a growth in our Asian American ministry that is happening here at Black Hawk Church. Something else incredible. You realize we have Korean speaking life groups that are meeting together on a regular basis. This fledgling Spanish-speaking ministry that started in the last couple of years just continues to grow and evolve into something that's amazing. I got word from one of the leaders from that particular ministry who said this: we've been involved in volunteering, and in the last 2 years, we started getting involved and getting to know the amazing people in the Spanish-speaking ministry. We have grown to the place of considering some of them to be our family. Because for most of us, our families are in our origin countries. And so this Spanish-speaking ministry is a way for us to know each other, to grow in relationship and love each other, to gather together and pray together. We are so incredibly grateful. People from other countries who come to Madison, come to Dane County, and find true community. Why? Because of the name of Jesus. All of that happens because of the way that people give. Somebody say amen. You know what's crazy has happened? Look, we have a young church. We have a lot of young people attend our church. We're doing weddings all the time, people who meet here at Black Hawk. Do you realize in the last year, we have done weddings in English, Spanish, and Mandarin? How cool is that? So you know what else? A few weeks ago, we had Love Madison. Man, Love Madison is something we've done for a long time. We're on that particular Sunday. If you're not familiar with it, we shut down everything that happens with services here in person. Rather than worshiping together this way, we go out into the city. And so I did a short message for something online that people could join in with, and then people were just out. And let me tell you, you all stepped up. This is the first time in all the years that we've done it where every single slot that we needed a person was filled. First time ever. I mean, you guys stepped up like in a massive way. The numbers that came through for it, we did 47 different projects and had over 3,300 different volunteer hours that happened on that particular day. But you want to hear something else that's been happening that's crazy. During this time, in the last couple years, there's some people from Black Hawk who live in Dodgeville. And they decided, well, if they're doing Love Madison, what would it look like to bring this to their community? And so they started something in their community a couple years ago, Love Dodgeville, that happens with all kinds of people from the community, not just Blackhawkers. And they had this past year, the same day we were doing Love Madison, Love Dodgeville had 80 volunteers, over 280 different volunteer hours. On top of that, Love Baraboo happened. Love Baraboo. There are some people who started joining us online with everything that we've been doing as a church, all during COVID. Some people from Baraboo and Lodi who would join together. They would gather together and they would watch services together as a community. And then they started, once we opened back up, they started coming here occasionally for services and getting together. And they decided, well, if they're doing Love Madison, maybe we should start Love Baraboo. And so for the first time ever, Love Baraboo started this past year. So Love Madison, Love Dodgeville, Love Baraboo. Is God doing cool things? Is he? Now, here, hang on, before you clap, I know you want to clap after each one of these, but let me keep going for just a minute, because another thing that's amazing, you know, through all of that, it happened because of our online ministry. 2 years ago, we had no idea that we were becoming an online church, but we were kind of forced to go that way. And as we started to gather in person, people started asking, are you going to keep the online thing going? Well, we decided to do a little test this past fall in order to figure out how effective our online thing was happening. And so we did a particular survey that week to see where people were watching from for a minimum of 30 minutes. You know, not just people who jumped on for 10 seconds. We weren't counting those. People have to watch for at least 30 minutes in order to be a part of that. You realize in that three-week period, random 3 weeks, we had people from every state in the United States who were watching services at Black Hawk, including Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. Okay, wait, hold on. I know you clappers. Some people were also watching from other countries. People were watching in Argentina, Australia, Barbados, Belgium, Brazil, Canada, Chile, China, Egypt, Germany, Hong Kong, India, Indonesia, Italy, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Nigeria, Philippines, Singapore, South Africa, South Korea, Taiwan, Turkey, Turks and Caicos, UAE, the United Kingdom, and Vietnam. Somebody say amen. You see, And listen, I'm not sharing these stories because I want to go, look at what Blackhawk's doing. That is not the idea. It's look at what God's doing. You know, one of the things that just moves me more than anything else is when we get a chance, not just to hear things like this, but to hear stories of life change. And I don't think there is any greater way to hear stories of life change than the baptisms that happen around this place. And this past year, we saw close to 70 people baptized. Take a look at this for just a minute.
I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ, raised to walk in new life.
I found out that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Somebody loves me.
Ended up coming to Black Hawk, and it was the final, all right, call to action. What do you want to do, and who do you want to be? Do you want to be a person of Christ or not? And for me, it's, I got one relationship, and that's with God.
I've always been an independent person and tried to deal with things on my own. And I think kind of when I got to college and realized I can't do everything on my own, I need some sort of rock, something that I can always count on. And I'm at a point in my life now where I can truly say that God is at the center of everything I do.
Over the last 4 months, I dove headfirst into my relationship with God and made it my first priority.
I'm very grateful to be able to know God and trust in Him.
I want to make the intentional, informed decision to just declare my faith out loud and, you know, knowing that I'll never have to walk alone.
By the end of that week, I thought, like, I have a decision to make, you know, because God is real. And that's how I decided to follow Him, because I knew that He is real.
I want to be baptized because I'm finally in a place in my faith and just in my life that I want to, like, declare that I love Jesus, and that is something that I want to follow Him.
During the last year and a half, I have learned to rely on God for everything in my life amidst so much uncertainty with the pandemic.
Jesus inside of us. And I believe he made me whole. And I want to follow Jesus and be part of his family forever and ever.
I've put my trust in Christ for salvation and purpose, everything.
I started reading a lot of books, I started attending church, and I felt like I was slowly putting a name to something that I already knew.
We're all misdirected, we're all broken, and you gotta start by acknowledging that. But if you let Jesus into your heart, you let the gospel into your mind and your soul, then love will win out in the end.
Buried with Christ, raised to walk a new life.
So, you know what I think of every time I see those stories? They just never get old. And the reason why is because we get the opportunity to see the way that God is working. And being a person who contributes here financially, the thing that I realize is that every time I hear one of those stories, I realize that I got to play a part in it in some way. When I see the things that are happening here multiculturally, when I see the things that are happening in life groups, when I see the way that God uses us in our city to transform the way that people see Jesus, I realize I got to play a role in every one of these because God created me, not just to consume, but to contribute. Amen. So, Black Hawk Church, family, regardless if you've been a part of the family for 20 days or 20 years, are you in the game? Because if you're not, I want to invite you to be a part of it. I want to invite you to be a part of it. And I say that unapologetically and unashamedly. I want to see everyone within our church in the game this way. And there are really two reasons why. One is because I look at the potential. I see what God is doing through us already. And I think, what would happen if that many more of us were in the game? What would happen if there were more of us who locked arms together this way and ran after the heart of Jesus? How could he continue to use us in the city, in our community, in the nation, in the world? Because what he already is doing is amazing. Imagine what could happen if more and more of us were in the game that way. But on top of that, man, it's really because of what a passage like 1 Timothy says. It's not something that I'm not just standing here. It's not because of something I want from you. It's because of something that I want for you. You see, because I believe that words of scripture that say that we are people who weren't just created to consume, but we were created to contribute. We were created to be people who were a part of something bigger. And in that, it does not suck the life, suck the joy out of life. It actually brings joy to life. And so I don't know where you're at financially, and I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'm even if it's a small amount, I'm just asking, would you get in the game? Because we are created to be people who find true fulfillment when we take off the goggles, believing that everything is about my own consuming, and realizing that we find life that is true life being people who don't just consume, but contribute. And in doing that, find a life that's rich and true and real and fulfilling and filled with joy. That is what God created us to be. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for the way that you work, and I thank you so much for the things that we have seen you do here at Black Hawk over this last year. God, it's humbling. It really is. To think of the way that you continue to use our church, not for our name, but for your name's sake, that the world would see you different. I pray, Father, as we continue to move forward, there would just be more and more of us who are on board with this vision. There would be more and more of us who are willing to give and be a part of this, that our community would just grow in the amount of people who are locked arms and with our eyes fixed on you to see what you desire to do in this city. God, help us to be people who steward what you give us well and use it in order for the world to be able to see who you are, a God of justice, a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness, that more and more people would come to an understanding who you are and that their lives would be transformed in the same way that you've transformed ours. So God, we look forward to seeing what it is that you have for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.
Amen. Well, we're gonna take the time right now to take communion together as a community. So go ahead and grab your elements. You can begin opening those to get those ready. And again, if for some reason you don't have those, go ahead and raise your hand if you want those, and we'll make sure to get those to you. So everything that we do as a church is actually in response to what Christ has done for us. We can love because we know that we are loved by a good God. We can be on mission because we follow a God who's on mission, who cares for those who are far from him, who goes after them. And we are a people who can be open with our resources, can be generous, because we have a God who's been so generous with us. And if you're a Christ follower, I don't know if there's a better illustration of that than what God has done for us through his son Jesus, who came to this earth, who lived among us, who taught us what it looked like to live in his kingdom, and ultimately who sacrificed his life for ours so that we might have true life. And so today, as we come to the communion table, we're remembering the work that Jesus did on the cross, his body broken, his blood shed for us. And we're also remembering the call that we have as God's people to be on mission with him, to share his love, his grace, and his forgiveness with the people in our lives. And so today, as we come to this communion table, let's remember that together. And so scripture tells us that on the night, the night before Jesus was betrayed, he was with his disciples, his friends in the upper room. They were eating the Passover meal together, eating and drinking. And at some point in the meal, Jesus, he takes the bread and he gives thanks. And he breaks it and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let's remember him. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." So let's remember him together. So would you stand and join in one last worship song together?
Sing. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Sing that again. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Oh, we want more of you, Jesus. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you at the center of it all. Let's be the center of our lives. Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. To the end, it Center of your church. Jesus be the center of your church. Sing that out, just your voices. Jesus be the center of your church. Every knee bow, every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus. We worship Jesus. Sing his name. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, it's all for you. Jesus. Jesus, from my heart. It's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. One last time, sing Jesus at the center. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus.
Amen, all you guys. Well, this morning we heard the challenge for Matt to get in the game financially with what God is doing here at Blackhawk. And so I know for some of you, like you said, you are new this morning, and this might even be your very first time. And our invitation to you is to continue to get to know our community, continue asking questions about who God is. And that is our invitation to you. But for those of you who call Blackhawk Church your home, quick thing. One, if you are in the game, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for partnering with God in the work that he's doing right here in our city and around the globe. We're so grateful for that. And for those of you who aren't giving yet, man, can I just encourage you, take a step. You know, I remember when I first started giving to a local church back in my 20s, it was tough. I wanted to be generous, and also I had some reasons that I wasn't quite ready to do that yet. And so I brought those to a mentor, and I said, hey, here's some of the tension I'm feeling. What do I do? Do I just wait? And she said, Tiff, I hear that, but what if you just took a small step? What if you just took a tiny little step in obedience to what God's calling you to do and see what he does? And so I remember giving like $5 a month and feeling like, Lord, that's what I can do. Take it. Do something with it. And then later on, God invited me to take another step. And then later on, another step. And so if that's where you're at, I just want to encourage you with the same words that mentor gave to me. Just take a step. See what might God do in your life and the life of our community. So excited, you guys, about what God's doing, excited about what God's going to continue to do over this next year. And so as we wrap up our time together, I actually want to pray those words that that Matt shared with us today out of the book of 1 Timothy. I'd love to pray that we would be that kind of people. So Lord, may we be a people who don't put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but God, may you make us a people who put our hope in you, you who richly provide for us everything for our enjoyment. And Lord, would we be a church who does good, who is rich in good deeds, is generous and willing to share. God, and in this way that we are laying treasure for ourselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that we may take hold of the life that is truly life. Amen. Amen. It's good to see you guys. Hope you have a great week.